From the Director of Audit submitting an informational report titled Residency of Contractor Employees Working on County Construction Contracts. This item was also referred to the Committee on Economic and Community Development. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
State your name for the record.
Jerry Hare, Director of Audits. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. In 1995, this government adopted a policy of requiring contractors who do business with us on construction projects to hire county residents for their workforce. For a lot of reasons, that effort was set on the shelf until you more recently, last year, reinitiated the implementation of that requirement. You also charged us with doing a review to see how it was going. So we waited a number of months until there were actual contracts awarded with that provision, until there were invoices that were being paid under that provision, and then we prepared this report for you dated June 27th. At that time, there was about $8 million worth of contracts that had been awarded with the requirement, and invoices had been submitted on 9 projects for a total of $123,000. Not a lot relative to the total county spend, but we actually wanted to get our protocols up and running to see how we were going to be able to monitor this provision. What we found at that time was that 26% of the gross wages had been paid to county residents. It's well short of the 50% goal. Only one was on track to meeting the goal, and one was clearly not going to meet the goal. But that's where we were with the $8 million that was subject to this provision. More importantly, however, there was about 6 times that value in contracts that were awarded without the requirement. That's due in part to the nature of the contracts not being amenable to the provision, just the practicalities of not having workforce available, but in large part, there were 10 projects at over $48 million that were not subject to this requirement because they involved federal and state money. When you adopted this provision and charged DPW with implementing it, we were all under the belief on the foundation of advice and counsel that we could do this. After implementation, we found out that there were severe limitations at the federal and state level, especially with regard to transit funds in implementing this objective. The good news is Public Works has been diligent in establishing all of the administrative tools to implement the provision. They have the contract language, they have the reporting forms, they have the oversight, and you have the oversight through us. The bad news is until we get clarity and certainty from our attorneys, this provision will not be a tool that can achieve the objectives that you defined when you adopted the resolution. So our recommendation to you is that with a new corp counsel in the House, that you re-engage corp counsel in helping you as policymakers figure out what you can do. It's one thing to know what you cannot do. It's quite another to know what you can do. And we would suggest that the question be framed in that light and put forth to the new corp counsel. Upon successful outcome of that effort, there's one administrative item that we think Public Works needs to bring back to you, and that's the whole question of incentives and disincentives. This is something that they talk about quite frequently in the construction trades. You have incentives and disincentives on both time and budget and quality, and it's only appropriate that we build in incentives and disincentives on social policy as well. Mm-hmm. I think they get it. I think they've got ideas. We've sounded some of those off of your colleagues. But the first step, the most important step, is to make sure that the provision you adopted can be applied to federal and state-funded programs.
Okay. Sir Washa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hare, when you said construction programs, are we just talking road construction, or what type of construction are we talking?
The primary project list would be construction, but not just road construction. A significant portion would also be airport construction. Those are the big ones. There's federal and state money primarily in the transportation area generally. It sort of makes sense to try and get, if we can, one standard for all projects, but if we can't, if there's a need to treat those projects separately, we still need to get a better definition of what we can and can't do.
Thank you. Just a comment to my colleagues that one, you know, one way to overcome these legal hurdles is to develop our own internal capacity to do this, because if you want to, if you're an employee of Milwaukee County, you have to live in Milwaukee County, and you can get 100% compliance if we had the capability to actually do these projects, whether it be a road project or limited construction projects. So it may be one way to look at, I believe Milwaukee County is the only county in the state that doesn't have the capacity to do some of its own road construction, that we are 100% privatized.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Supervisor Weishaupt raises a couple of really good points there. One is the whole idea of an internal T&M. Historically, county government did have an internal T&M workforce to do a lot of our capital projects. But you also touch on the issues that were raised in the most recent state budget. And there were some limitations put on the municipality's ability to do what Supervisor Weishaupt is suggesting. Now, those are limits. They're not bans. There's things you can do up to a certain dollar threshold. But subsequent to our issuing of this report, there have been other questions raised about the state budget and how it would affect implementation of this county ordinance. So we would roll that into the discussion we would have with the support council about how to proceed. But on the point of an internal T&M force, up to the provisions under state law, I mean, that's certainly something that we have done in the past.
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Right, and I think that's a real thing that was hidden in the state budget. About that, I think when you talk about the local economy and how we support it and what kind of underpins everything here, about how the state doesn't have a problem with a private contractor gouging a local municipality or local county government and setting up a dynamic where the taxpayer gets fleeced by the private sector. But if you God forbid you overspend a penny and it's a public employee that actually pours the concrete, it's, oh my God, it's terrible. So they put provisions in the state budget that actually undercut the free market principle, because we're going to do it up until a point where it's not in our best interest to do it. And what the state has come down and said, we don't care what your best interest is, we're going to put a cap on these projects because we have campaign donors that need to be taken care of.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Dimitri.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One part that was disturbing to me was where your report cited that we only had invoices for, was it one of the nine projects?
Nine. And only one was on track to actually achieve the goal clearly, and one was on track to clearly not achieve the goal. For the others, I would suggest that the ebb and flow of invoices with public works, they're often able to make up on the later invoices for lags on the front end of the invoicing process. We've seen that with the DBE requirements, that it may look like there's going to be a failure to meet the goal, but the subcontractor involved in getting to the DBE percentage is involved in the later phase. Mm-hmm. So, but we do believe that one of those nine was no way they're going to make the 51 in one. Or I'm sorry, 50%, and one probably would. This was, I need to be really clear on this, of the $8 million that was subject to this provision and the $51 million that wasn't, the reason we jumped in and did this report when we did is we wanted to make sure that it was set up to succeed. And indeed, we did find a couple of issues, the incentives and disincentives, which we can deal with, and the barrier under law, which is a more substantial issue. So I wouldn't focus on the 26% as how it's going to be, but that's where it was in this very small snapshot on the early phases of implementation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other kind of follow-up that I was interested in was those projects, the $8 million that we could have obtained this on perhaps, I'm assuming all those projects had their 25% DBE. So I guess what I would like at some point would be just a small follow-up. Don't DBE requirements require that you be Milwaukee County residents, or not necessarily? Because I think that's something that we need to look at.
That provision was deleted from county ordinances many years ago, but initially it was a part of the requirement.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember that, but I think while we're opening this up is what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, something we need to look at, because that's unfortunate. And then lastly, the chart that you have here, I think is good, that shows the growing disparity between the county and the residency outside. That's what we should really be focused on, because like you said, in 1995 it was much closer. It was only a 20% difference, and now it's almost a 40 to 50% difference. And why I bring that up, and I'll end here, is in this budget perhaps, and perhaps with the future of mental health, we might be doing some construction and building and may want to make sure we have this policy up to date. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? I think this has gave a lot of insight to what's going on within Milwaukee County, but I think because of your initiatives and those sponsors who said, let's get people to work with Milwaukee County, mm-hmm. it's, at least we are trying. And it's hard to change a culture when they're not used to that. So we have to work on changing the culture and bringing them to the table. Since I like this now, then we're going to bring people to the table. That we're going to make this work. But when you talk about demands of telling only DBEs in Milwaukee County to be able to do contract, that's discrimination. One, second of all, you are not helping people who bring in, who can hire people. Because everybody who's a DBE will not, do not live in Milwaukee County, they live outside, but they will hire and help hire people here. But I think this is a good conversation. I think it's a good start. I thank the sponsors who brought this forth. I hope we can put those incentives and disincentives and make it more, have more teeth to it. I think this is a very good first start. And I thank, again, I thank the sponsors who put this together. Any other questions or comments on this? If not,